We have two readings for you this evening, both from Acts. First one, chapter 4, and the second one is chapter 11. Acts 4, 32 to 27. I think it must be 22 to 37. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And from Acts 11, 22 to 26, this is in the section headed the church in Antioch. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back at the 6 p.m. and so encouraging to see so many people here tonight. 124 adults and 30 or something children here tonight. So it's great to see the numbers really back in strength and to see lots of old friends, faces I haven't seen for a while. And that's not a criticism, that's because I've been away quite a lot. So you've heard the kind of interviews with the, we call it SIPFAM, children, young people and families, the little SIPFAM team, and it is a concern. It is a concern when I hear chit-chat of families thinking about leaving the church because, you know, the groups aren't right, because there's too much of a wide range of ages in one group and their kids aren't enjoying it. That's because we don't have enough helpers to have more groups. So it's a real concern. And when a family, when anybody leaves the church, as a church leader, it's like a dagger in the heart. You know, it's really, really hurts me when people leave the church because we haven't served them properly. So this is a big issue. We are not the only church facing this issue at the moment. Speaking to other church leaders, there's just, I don't know what it is, but I think it's because of lockdown and the pandemic, the muscles that we built up serving and volunteering, they atrophied. They kind of like withered. And it's like that with hospitality. Lucia and I used to do lots and lots of hospitality. Our dining room was used at least once a week. Now it's a storeroom. It's because we kind of forgot how to entertain during lockdown. And we're really having to kind of make an effort to be social and to invite people over. And I think it's the same with serving. So we planned this little sermon series, which is called Get Off Your Butt. It's quite clever. In fact, it's not. It's a bit corny, but you'll understand later on. You know, back in the summer, because we knew we were going to be heading for this situation. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, then actually I think the same principles apply in the secular world. You know, we all know it's not just Christians who offer to help. It's amazing people do the most incredible work in secular charities and food banks that aren't run by churches and stuff like that. So if you're here tonight and you're not yet a Christian, that's fine. I still think this talk will challenge you. But, you know, we have been wondering why more people don't get involved in serving in the church. Because I think serving in the church is investing in doing something really significant and meaningful. Now, you may be thinking, oh, come on, Will, for goodness sakes, this is hyperbole, you know, pouring somebody a cup of tea at the back of church, that's not significant and meaningful. And actually, I think it is. I think it is. There's lots of people coming into church on their own, struggling. And it's the person who's standing behind that counter who smiles at them and offers them a cup of tea and says, how are you? That can make such a difference in that person's life. And I think we all want to live a life of significance, don't we? We'll be having Michael's funeral, possibly in a couple of Fridays' time. We've got to work out the details tomorrow. And I always think to myself, I want somebody to be able to stand over my grave and say, and not to have to lie. Because, you know, you do hear a whole load of rubbish at funerals, don't you, sometimes? You know, what a wonderful, loving person this was. Yeah, I'd been married 5 times. You know, I want, and I'm going to have that pleasure at Michael's funeral. Because there was a man who served selflessly. And I'm not going to give his eulogy tonight. In fact, it's not even my job on the day to give his eulogy. That's going to fall to some other people. But he made such a difference. He led a life of real significance. And I know we can't all be Michael Greggs, okay, but we can learn from his example. But why do we struggle to find people to serve on teams? Well, perhaps it's because we don't get off our butts. Now, before you think I've said a naughty word there, I don't mean our actual butts and backsides, but what I mean is the butts of our fears. But what if I fail? The butts of our insecurities. But what if I'm not good enough? The butts of our ignorance. But I don't know what to do. Although Sam really nailed that tonight, didn't he? There's a course. There's no excuse for that but. The butts of our ignorance. But I don't know where or how. The butts of our own self-assessments, but I don't have anything to offer. And the butts of our excuses, but I don't have the time. We have a lot of buts to get over. And that's what we're going to tackle in this little series, getting off our butts in order to live the lives that we should desire to live the most. And I hope we're all going to be challenged by this, myself included. I hope we're going to be challenged to do what we don't seem to want to do so that we can achieve the life we've always wanted to live, a life of meaning and significance. Because everyone who serves is significant. And I think many of us are sitting on their butts for a reason. We like it there. You think it's the easiest and best place to be, but it's not. And so I want to begin with a case study of a man who did get off his butt and was so glad that he did. But before we look at him, I want to look at Jesus, because he is our model. What did he have to say about serving? So this from Mark chapter 9. They came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? This is, the disciples were following him, and they all wanted to be at his right-hand side, you know, when he became king, you know, who was going to be the greatest. But they kept quiet, didn't want to tell Jesus, they didn't want to admit it, because on the way they'd argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. But they didn't get it. And later, when the same issue reared its head again, Jesus put it to them plainly. He said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And of course, this is completely countercultural. This is pure gospel. This is pure Jesus. Jesus turns all our secular values on their head. It's 180 degrees. You know, look at some of these great leaders. Can you think of Putin as a servant? Can you think of Donald Trump as a servant? No, no, no. And then using one of his favorite titles for himself, the Son of Man, a name that reflected both his divinity and his humanity, that he was God the Son in human form, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." There's kind of no doubt here, is there, about how important serving was to Jesus. And I haven't even gone to the Last Supper when, you know, Jesus takes all his kit off and washes the feet of the disciples. It is absolutely clear. So let's look at a life that did buy into this. And his name was Joseph. It'll all become clear in a moment. He was a business guy, meaning he knew how to climb ladders, negotiate deals, take advantage of opportunities and do stuff like that. He was probably a taker rather than a giver. It was about him, not really about others. But then he encountered Jesus and his life was transformed. Jesus rocked the foundations of his world. Through Jesus, he was introduced to something, to some radically new thinking. The power of a servant's heart, of a servant's mentality. Just the raw impact and life change of serving. And it captivated him. And he became a follower of Jesus. And as a follower, he saw the entire drama surrounding Jesus play out. The miracles, the healings, the teachings, the crowd. And then the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion. And on the third day, the empty tomb. And then this thing called the church that Jesus came to establish was birthed. And Joseph knew that it was time for those who followed Jesus to do exactly what he said they should do, become a servant and emulate the life that Jesus lived. So let's look, number one, the impact of servant giving. Andrew read to us where Joseph first enters the biblical narrative. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles call Barnabas, now you'll understand who he is, which means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. Now, the early church was an incredibly exciting time. There was so much enthusiasm, you know, there was miracles going on, but it was also a time of great need. And Joseph sold his field and gave the money to the church to reach those around them and to care for the needs of the poor. And it had such an impact that he was never known as Joseph again. Now, if you have a real impact here, I will rechristen you. I'm only joking. You can keep your names. You can keep your names. But he became known as Barnabas, the great encourager, the one who brought hope, confidence, courage to them all through his selfless service. And that was the impact of following Jesus into a life of servant giving. So the second thing to look at, we've looked at giving. The second thing is about giving of time. But for Barnabas, that financial gift, the selling of his field, and you know, we don't know if it was his only field or whether it was one of 100 fields. You know, we don't know anything about that. But that wasn't just like one act. Other things flowed from it. There's another scene from his life. Because all over the region, the news about Jesus was spreading like wildfire. To use a modern analogy, Jesus went viral. And one of the few places where there was an established church, which was Jerusalem, they heard that large numbers of people in Antioch, so Antioch is in modern-day Syria. So if you think of a map with Israel here and sort of Syria up here and Turkey there, it's just kind of in the corner. And they heard that large numbers of people were coming to faith there and becoming Christ followers. and that God was doing amazing things. But they didn't have a leader. So, as Andrew said, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. There was a need to encourage a new group of believers, for them to be served at their point of need, and they send Barnabas. And the key thing is Barnabas obviously said yes. Yes to the challenge. And he threw himself into what ended up being a whole year of his life on mission in Antioch. He moved there. He lived there, uprooted there. He did life there, teaching and mentoring, leading and investing, serving in any way he could. Why? Because he'd already tasted what the Jesus life of serving others instead of being served was like. He knew firsthand what serving through giving had already done. It had changed his life and changed the lives of others. So when the opportunity came to go on this mission trip, boom, hand went up. Yep, I'll go. It was automatic. He knew that's where his life would be most alive and make the biggest difference. And I suspect there'll be many people here who have jobs. I'm thinking of the people in employment, but have jobs that perhaps don't make them feel alive. Perhaps lack that kind of significance of impacting people's lives in a powerful way. But he knew, Barnabas knew, that the church was the hope of the world and that the ultimate service to it was going to involve not only his money but also his time. And the impact of his service was so significant, I love this bit, that it resulted in the people in the city of Antioch calling this group of believers Christians, which means little Christs. And as our reading tells us, that was the first time they'd been referred to as Christians. But because of Barnabas's investment, the lives of the people were becoming so transformed into the life that Jesus lived, that the only thing the people in Antioch could think of calling them was little Christs, Christians. And people who authentically follow Christ, of course, are still called Christians 2,000 years later because of a man named Barnabas who lived like Jesus asks us all to live. And Barnabas did so much more. You know, he invested time with John Mark, who almost left the ministry out of discouragement, but hung on in there because Barnabas took him under his wing. And because of that, Mark stayed the course, and he ended up writing Mark's gospel. We wouldn't have that gospel had it not been for Barnabas. Barnabas's willingness to serve, whether through giving of his resources or the giving of his time, his relational support, set the early church up to do what it did, which was to explode in growth into the world. By 100 AD, they were around 7,500 Christians. By the mid-300s, there were more than 30 million Christians. And today, it's the world's largest faith. So my third and final point. Why aren't we more into this kind of serving? Why aren't more of us into living like this? And it's always difficult picking an example from the Bible because I'm not literally encouraging us all to kind of go off to the other side of the world for a year. I'd be happy if you went upstairs for 1 hour next Sunday night. But, you know, kind of if the cat fits. There may be somebody here who the Holy Spirit touches tonight and feel calls to go into the mission field. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But I wonder why we aren't seeing the connection between a life of significance and a life that serves. And I think it's because we just don't get off our butts. Think of the two butts that Barnabas could have sat on that would have absolutely ensured he never made any difference in his life. The two butts that would have kept him out of the Bible. The two butts that would have guaranteed he would always have been Joseph and not Barnabas. The two buts that would have arguably removed the word Christian from the world's vocabulary. But I don't have the money, but I don't have the time. He could have sat on those two buts. Oh my goodness me, I have sat on them myself. I know, he could easily have sat on them. And nobody would probably have thought any the less of him. He could easily have made a case as to why it was financially irresponsible to sell any of his land. Yeah, but land prices are about to go up. Why would I sell now? I need to think about my long-term security and the security of my great-grandchildren, you know, etc., etc. If he was already a consistent giver, he could have said, "Hey, I already do my part. I already give some money every month, you know. Why should this burden fall on me? Let others step up." And if he wasn't giving much or anything, he could have said, "I'm so sorry, money's tight. I can barely live off what I have. I've got my Sky subscription, Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime. Yeah, I'm guilty. I am guilty. I can barely live off what I have. They look like they're doing all right. Why don't you go and ask them? I need it more than they do." Or, "Sure, I've got a field I could sell, but why would I do that?" And when it comes to time, he could easily have said, "Listen, don't look at me. I've got a full-time job. I may be working shifts. I've got a wife, kids. I need to take my kids to their sports, their football at Gorkut on an afternoon. You know, and if I have an extra hour or two left over, you know, that's me time. I want to watch soccer on the TV or, you know, whatever. I need it for me." He could have said, "Let someone else do the heavy lifting." We never get off our butts because our butts are very real to us. They are. They're really real. I am just as convicted in this as I hope you are being. These are real butts. We've got it all settled in our minds, the reasons why we can't do something. We've convinced ourselves. We've got a load of rationalizations, and they are all very, very rational to us. The problem is that we don't realize, in all that we think prevents us from serving, is that we are choking the very lifeblood out of our lives. Because by not serving, we miss out on living lives of meaning and significance. By sitting on our butts, we really are sacrificing the life that we long for, the one we were created and called to live. But like Jesus said, whoever wants to be great must be a servant. But it's time for all of us to get off our butts and experience the life we really do want to have. The difference we all want to make. And no matter what it is you do, no matter how small it might seem, God will use it. Remember, he's looking for our availability, not our ability. Be a Barnabas. I just want to conclude as the band come up. I remember a story I read somewhere of a soldier who was dying in the First World War in a shell hole. And his friend, his mucker, his buddy was there for, you know, putting a dressing on, and the blood was flowing and his life was ebbing away. And his friend said, "Mate, is there any message you want me to take to someone back home?" And the dying man said, "Actually, there is. There was a lovely old guy called whatever who taught Sunday school in my village, in such and such a village. Would you look for him? Would you go to him and find him? And would you just tell him that what he taught me all those years ago is helping me to die well now. And then at the end of the war, his buddy goes back, he finds this guy in this village in the middle of nowhere, and he says, Private so-and-so has this message for you. He said he died in my arms, and his last words were, please tell you that what you taught him at Sunday school is helping me to die in peace, knowing where I am going. And the old man broke down in tears, and he said, I worked in that Sunday school for 20 years, and I never thought anything I did made any difference at all. And now I see how God was using me. You can become a Barnabas too. We just need to get off our butts. So why don't we stand?